Cool, let's just pray as the pens are getting given out. Lord, thank you so much for the chance to come worship you this morning. Thank you for the amazing truth we've already sung together. Thank you that we're no longer slaves. We're free. In you, in your Son, we are free to be the people we were always created to be, to live life as it was always meant to be lived. And I just pray as we look at this short passage together that you'd speak to all of us, young and old alike. I pray that we'd see Jesus more. He's what this is all about. And we just ask that you would come by your Spirit into this room and you would use this time for your glory in all of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. Has everyone got a pen? Who wants a pen? Not quite. So, I'm going to use my board this morning. Is there anyone here who hasn't seen a board like this before? No one admits it. I'm certain there are people in here, but no one wants to admit it, do they? So, let's get the easy one out of the way first. Who do you reckon we might be talking about this morning? Oh, well done. If you're struggling to read this, you just need to look at the yellow rather than looking at the red. And some words should start to appear up there. This morning and these few weeks, and most of the time, to be honest, we're talking about Jesus. Why? Because he is the one who matters. He's the one who it's all about. Yeah? He is the center of the universe. He's the center of everything. And so we're talking about Jesus. And these few weeks together, both down here and upstairs as well, we've been looking at some of the statements or the sayings that Jesus said about himself. So who's going to tell me what we've already looked at? Who can get there first? Someone from downstairs or someone from upstairs? Hollis, what we've been looking at? I'm the bread of life. Well done. That was the first one. Who knows what the second one was? Bethany? No, not that one. Anyone know? Anyone downstairs listening? Clearly not. Bethany? Not the way, the truth, and life. That's coming up. Joel? Not the water of life. Ben, I don't know how you can answer. You haven't been here. What do you reckon? The light of the world. Well done. Have you been listening online to our sermons? Yeah? Cool. So we've done, I'm the bread of life. Jesus says, I'm the one that satisfies you better than any meal could do. I'm the light of the world. I'm the one that helps you see in the darkness of this world, to see where you're going, to see what life's all about. Now this week, let's read our passage, shall we, first, before we paint it up. I'm going to read to you from John chapters 9 and 10. We're going to start reading at John chapter 9, verse 35, and read through to chapter 10, verse 10. So this is what we're talking about this week. It will be pretty obvious to you what's going to go up on the board as we read this through. It says this, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. That was a man who was born blind. Jesus healed him, and they threw him out of the synagogue. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You've seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So, this week, who caught it? What are we looking at? Jesus said, I am the door. Cool. Let's paint that up. I am the door. And what's really important about this is that middle word. You know, it doesn't look like such an important word, does it? The is all over the place in every sentence we write. But Jesus says, does he say he's a door? You know, we've got our sheepfold here. Does Jesus say, I'm the door on the left, and there's someone else is the door on the right, and someone else is the door around the back? Is that what Jesus says? No. What does he say? I am the door. How many doors are there? Only one, isn't it? There's only one door. There's only one way in. And that's what all of these are about. Jesus says, I am the door. He says later, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. He is the only one. And that's what this is all about. Jesus is the only way that we can come in to God's sheepfold. He's the only way to get in. He is the only one who matters. Okay, so Jesus is the door. Now I'm going to start this morning on the kind of negative side. So who can tell me, as we read through those verses, oh, by the way, I don't know where I picked up I am the gate from, but clearly I got that from somewhere. Pretty much every translation says the door, including the one that we use. So you can tell I didn't do the work myself. I just Googled it, and someone came up with I am the gate, but they're the same thing, aren't they? I'm the door, I'm the gate. So we're going to start over here on the negative. Now, who heard at the end of that passage that we read, there was someone who was coming who wasn't the shepherd of the sheep and wasn't going to come through the door? What was that person going to come and do? So steal is the first one. Let's write that up if I can get the right paint. He comes to number one. Oops, I messed it up. No, I didn't. I'm okay. Just about wonky tea. He comes to steal, to destroy. It's this bottom one. Destroy, and who knows what the third one was? Any other than these two? To kill, well done. Well done, Holly, kill. So the thief comes, isn't it, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now let me ask you a question. If you see that sentence, who would you imagine, or who would you guess Jesus might be talking about is that thief? What do you reckon? What would you say? Anyone hasn't answered yet? What would you guess? Go on, Hollis, you can say. Satan, you would guess that, wouldn't you? But you know what? I think you'd be kind of right, but you wouldn't be totally right. And this is why I read the bit before John chapter 10. So I read the end of John chapter 9. You see, something we can learn this morning is that, you know, when you read your Bible, you've got the big chapter numbers. Do you know God didn't put the chapter numbers in? We did, right? But sometimes we make mistakes, because what we do is, when you have your daily readings every day, you read like two chapters, don't you? So you start at the beginning of one chapter and you end at the end of a chapter. And then you start up and you pick up the next chapter the next day. And sometimes you don't link chapter 9 to chapter 10, when actually they just ran straight through. When God wrote it, he didn't put any numbers in the way. He just said, just read it straight through. Doesn't mean you have to read the whole book every morning. But it does mean that we need to be careful, okay? So when Jesus says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, do you know who he's talking about? You see, this is what happened before, isn't it? So we read about this man who was born blind. And he was born blind, and Jesus came along, and he healed him. So Jesus made the man born blind well again. And then the Pharisees, the religious leaders, threw this guy out of the synagogue, right? They didn't like the fact that Jesus had healed him. They didn't like the fact that of what Jesus had done. They didn't like the fact that someone was influencing people more than they could. And so they kicked the guy out of the synagogue. And they said, we don't believe in this Jesus guy. We don't think he's worth anything. We need to get rid of you because you're telling us that he's someone important. And then Jesus talked to the man, didn't he? The man says, Jesus asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? The guy says, who is he? I don't know who he is. And Jesus basically says, I'm the Son of Man. And he believes and he falls down and worships him. And then Jesus says something. He says, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. And some of the Pharisees heard him say that. And they were like, what's he talking about? Are we blind people that you're talking about? Are we the ones who you're dissing here? And Jesus says, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. And then immediately, so there's no break. Jesus didn't stop and say, right, guys, that's the end of chapter 9. Chapter 10's coming later. Immediately, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. So, who do you think Jesus might be calling a thief and a robber? The Pharisees. Now, they're not going to like that, and that's kind of why they killed him in the end. But that's what he's saying. He's saying, guys, there could be people who've got into the sheepfold, but they didn't come in the right way. If someone climbs into the sheepfold over the wall, over the back, they don't belong in the sheepfold. If they didn't come through the door, they should not be there. And that's the way it is with the church and with the religion back then. Some people seemed to be in, but they didn't belong. And the Pharisees were like that. You see, the Pharisees were the religious people, weren't they? If you'd seen a Pharisee walking down the street, you would have assumed they were a religious person, that they belonged in the temple, they belonged in the synagogue, they were the ones you looked up to, and if you wanted to be religious, you copied them. But Jesus is saying, actually, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with these Pharisees. They look like they're in the sheepfold, but actually, they're not. So here's what Jesus is saying, and like I say, Satan is somewhere in there, he's kind of behind it, but actually, Jesus is saying this. The one that's come to steal and to kill and to destroy is this. He's saying religion has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. Because here's the difference. Religion tells you this. If you can be good enough, then you'll get into heaven. If you can be good enough, then you can come into our group. If you can do enough good stuff, then you can come in. And I think this picture's great. You see, when we've been told to be good enough, what's it kind of like? It's kind of like saying, can you climb high enough? So I don't know how high these walls are in the sheepfold, but let's imagine they're 10 foot high or something. Religion tells you, can you climb that 10 foot high wall? Anyone here reckon they could climb a 10-foot high wall? I'd give it a go. I'm not sure if I could. Let's say 15 foot. Could you climb a 15-foot wall? That would depend how many kind of handholds there were and stuff, what kind of wall it was, whether there was a drain pipe up the side. Let's hope none of us have experience with that. But it's about trying to be good enough to get to the top, right? Any of you kids think you're good climbers? Yeah? Thought you would. That's what religion says. Can you climb to the top and can you get in yourself? But actually, Jesus says, you know what? If you've done that, if you've tried to be good enough and you think you've made it, you don't belong. That isn't the way to come in. You see, the truth is we can't be good enough, can we? However good we think we are, we're actually not that good. We're not as good as we think we are, and we're certainly not good enough for God. We're certainly not good enough for heaven. We're certainly not good enough by ourselves to come in to God's kingdom, into his sheepfold. And so how do we get in? How do we get into the sheepfold? If you can't climb in by being good enough and praying enough and going to church enough and reading the Bible enough, how do you get in? Well, this is how you get in. How do you get in? You can only get in through Jesus. And the only way you can get in, the only reason he can let you in, is because he died. That's the only way you get into the sheepfold. The cross is the only door into God's kingdom. Why? Because that's the only place where our sin can get taken care of. It's the only place where the bad that we've done that would keep us out of God's presence, out of his kingdom, that's the only place where that can be dealt with. That's the only way to rightfully get in to the sheepfold is through the cross. And so the first question this morning has to be, have you come in through the cross? When you came into the religion, if you like, or into the sheepfold, or into God's kingdom, did you come by the cross? Because in every church, there are people who are sitting there, and they haven't come through the cross. They may be in church, they may look like they belong there, they may sing the songs loud, they may do all the right things, they may serve the tea and coffee after church, they may do all kinds of stuff, but if they haven't come by the cross, then they don't belong. They shouldn't be there. The only way to come genuinely into God's kingdom is through the cross. How do we do that? Well, we come, don't we, to Jesus and we say, I know I'm not good enough. I've tried climbing that wall enough times. I've tried changing my life. I've tried being better. I've tried New Year's resolutions all the time. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. I'm not good enough. But Jesus, thank you that you died. Thank you that you made a way that I could come in to the sheepfold. Thank you that you gave your life for me. That's the only way you can come in. And so I hope this morning that you've done that, that you haven't just come to church because you think you're supposed to come to church and you're trying to show God how much you love him. I hope that you've come to church because you know that your sins have been taken away, because you know that you've come through the door, because you know you couldn't do it, but Jesus did it for you. And because of that, we can't help but show him how much we love him. There's a massive difference. Jesus says religion comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You try and be good enough too much, and you'll destroy yourself. We need to come through the cross. If you've got any questions about that, please do come and talk to someone afterwards. If you're uncertain, really, have I come through the cross? Have I come through the door? Have I come through Jesus or not? Then talk to someone after, because that is really, really important. So, as we move on, Jesus says four things about being in the sheepfold. So we're going to pick all of these out the passage. Four things that Jesus talks about. What color do I need first? Red. Okay, pick it up again. Four things that Jesus talks about. So here's the first one. When you're in the sheepfold, this is true of you. What does it say? No. The shepherd knows you, and you know the shepherd. That's what it says in John 10, isn't it? Let's read it. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. On your sheet, it doesn't say no, it says relationship, because that's what Jesus is saying. When he calls you into his sheepfold, when you come into his sheepfold, he's bringing you in to a relationship. And we get this wrong all the time as well. You see, religion tells us that it's all about what we can do for God. It's all about how good we can be. But Jesus says, you know what, I just want to know you. I just want to have fellowship with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to have intimacy with you. I want to be your friend and your brother, and your, as well as your king and your Lord. I want to walk out life with you. I want to have that kind of relationship where, like a shepherd calls his sheep by name, I call you by name and you follow. That's an amazing verse, isn't it? The sheep hear the shepherd's voice and he calls them by name. Do you know this morning that God knows you by name? He calls you by name. He knows you individually. He doesn't just see you as another statistic. He doesn't just see you as another person who's sitting in church and, you know, there are millions across the world and you're just number 25378 or something like that. He doesn't see like that. He knows you. He knows who you are. He knows the week you've had, the stuff that's happened in your week that no one else knows about. He knows it. The thoughts that have been going through your mind, the struggles you've been having, the successes, the failures, the good times, the bad times. He knows everything. And he loves you. And he wants relationship with you. And you know that changes everything. It really does. To know the shepherd. Not just to be trying to be good enough for him. Not just to trying to impress him. But to live life with him. That's the kind of shepherd that Jesus wants to be. He doesn't just want our duty. He doesn't just want our discipline. He wants those things to a certain extent. But he wants to know us. He wants to be in fellowship with us. And that's the privilege of coming in to the sheepfold. You know, I should have done something, shouldn't I? I missed off this. Can you guess what these are? They're not clouds floating around. They are sheep. Believe it or not, these are sheep. So there you go. Jesus wants to know you. He wants relationship with you. That's the first thing. Right, second thing. Blue. So these are going to come thick and fast. They're down a bit lower in the passage. Verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? Can anyone read it? Anyone got it? Is it coming up on the screen? If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Well done. He will be saved. What Jesus is talking about here is not just that moment when we're kind of saved and we come into God's family, but he's talking about keeping his sheep safe. And that's a great thing, isn't it? See, here's where the picture of the sheepfold comes from. Many of you will know this, but the way they did sheepfolds back then in that country was the sheepfold was like a circle of stones. It was like stones piled on top of each other. I kind of considered trying to draw it like that and then gave up straight away. Piles of stones round in a circle, and there'd be one gap left. And the shepherds would take his sheep out by night. He only had a few sheep back then. Shepherds were poor. They didn't have huge flocks. They had maybe 15, 20, maybe a few more if they were better off. And they would call their sheep out of the sheepfold, and they'd go out in the daytime, and they'd find a pasture and stuff, and then they'd come back into the sheepfold at night. They'd put all their sheep back in there. They'd count them, as that famous story about the lost sheep. And then in the nighttime, that little gap, there was no gate. There wasn't a gate like that. There wasn't a door. There wasn't anything there. It was just a gap in the sheepfold. And the shepherd would lay down in front of the gap. So the only way to get into the sheepfold, the shepherd said, I'm going to stay there. I'm going to sleep there. I'm going to protect my sheep. And so if anyone wants to get to these sheep, either they have to be good enough to climb or they have to come through the shepherd. And that's what Jesus is talking about. If you come through him into the sheepfold, you will be safe. You will be safe. You won't have all the worries and fears and doubts and all the stuff that everyone else around you struggles with. What kind of stuff do we worry about? All kinds of things, don't we? Jesus says, if you come with me, if you come through me, if you come into my sheepfold, you will be safe from all of that. I will be there by your side, protecting you.
and stopping you from coming to any harm at all. That was what a good shepherd did for their sheep. You remember the stories about King David? What kind of animals did King David say he killed? Anyone remember? A bear and a lion, that's right. He says he killed bears and he killed lions. He was a pretty tough guy. Not sure I'd want to take on that job personally. But that's what David did to protect his sheep. He said, anything that comes against them, I'm going after them. I'm not letting anything come near them. And obviously, as a human shepherd, they would fail. Human shepherds probably can't look after their sheep 100% the whole time. I'm sure they lose some occasionally. But Jesus is perfect. He's the perfect heavenly shepherd. And nothing can get you. Nothing. He's lying down in front of that door. And anything that comes to try and get at you, he's going to protect you. He's going to keep you safe. That's good news, I reckon, anyway. If you come through Jesus, you will be safe. You will be saved. Not just from your sin, although that's massive. That's so important. But saved from everything that would come against you in life. Thirdly, black paint. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find, what's the next words? Has anyone got it in front of him? Pasture. He'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now to a sheep, what's pasture? To us, it might just be a big field to kick a football round in or something. But to a sheep, what's a pasture? Food. So you come into Jesus' sheepfold, you'll be known by him, you'll have a relationship with him, you'll be safe, you'll be saved from anything that could come against you, and you'll have good food. Who enjoys good food? If anyone's not putting their hand up, you're just lying, because everyone likes good food, don't they? We all like different stuff. Not everyone likes hot and spicy. I love the hot and spicy. Other people like different things, but we all like good food, don't we? And how many of us like missing meals? Right? That's the truth. That was an easy one because you're all too lazy to put your hands up anyway. But for that one, you didn't need to because none of us like missing meals, do we? We all love our food. And we need food to live. It is an important thing. Let's not deny that. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. You see, the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that man shall not live by bread alone. We do live by bread. Bread's great. It's a gift from God. And so is all the other food that we enjoy. But you don't just live by that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by, can anyone finish that verse for me? Man shall not live by bread alone, but something like that. Faith is important. Is that what you said, faith? What is it? Anyone else? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, right? So spiritually speaking, you know, our physical bodies need food to keep going. We need to eat our meals. We need to keep going with that, otherwise we're going to have a problem. Spiritually speaking, we don't eat physical food to keep going. What do we eat? I don't even have one up here, so I can't like hold it up. We don't have a Bible up here. We need God's word, don't we? We need the Bible. That's our food. And Jesus says, if you come into my sheepfold, I will lead you to good pastures. I will lead you to the truth. I will lead you to that which you need to feed on to help you live and to help you thrive and to help you flourish. And I know this is simple, but we need reminding of this all the time, don't we? The Bible is our food. As a Christian, you cannot survive without the Word of God. You cannot survive without eating. You know, I want to say 3 square meals a day. That's not saying we have to read our Bibles 3 times a day, but you can't survive without God's word. And Jesus says, I will lead you to pasture. Maybe some of you have experienced that a lot. I don't know about you, but I grew up reading the Bible, and I read it all the time. I went to Sunday school, went to kids' club. I knew the Bible pretty well. You know, if you'd asked me a question about the New Testament or some of the famous bits in the Old, I'd probably be able to answer you. So I knew the Bible. But do you know what? What happened when I actually came through the cross, when I actually got saved and actually became a Christian? It totally transformed. I started reading the Bible and not just seeing what happened and being able to answer the questions, but I began to be able to understand it. I began to be able to comprehend what God was actually saying to me and what it actually meant for my life and what I needed to do to respond that and what grace actually was. Never understood that before. And what it meant to have faith. I didn't really understand that before. I could answer the questions. You see, what was happening to me then and what happens to all those that come into the sheepfold was that the Holy Spirit had come into my life. And he was starting to open up the Bible, not in a kind of black and white way, like studying a textbook, but in a real and living way. And we all need that. That's what Jesus is saying. I'll lead you to pasture. As you read the Bible, I'll speak to you. I'll open it up for you. I'll help you to understand it. I'll be the one that's going to lead and guide you. I'll take you to the food you need to live. Last one. What was that? Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Does everyone see it that way? Does everyone look at Jesus and think he came to give us abundant life? Truth is, they don't, do they? Truth is, many people look at Jesus and think, do you know what he came to do? He came to rip my life away from me. Lots of people think that. That's why this church isn't bursting at the seams, because people think, if I come to church, I'll have to stop this and stop that and stop doing this and do that and do that, and those things are boring, and I just don't want it. I don't want my life taken away from me. That's what many people think. But what does Jesus say? And I trust him, and I hope you do too. Jesus says he came to give life abundantly. That word means to kind of overflow. It means to have more than enough. It means that you're just bursting at the seams. You can't contain all of the life that Jesus came to give us. He came to give us the best life we can possibly have. And I hope that you believe that this morning, because if you do, you'll run after him hard. Some people think that life is found in relationships, don't they? And so they run after them hard. Some people think that life is found in jobs, and so they run after the best one as hard as they can. Some people think that life is found in fast cars. One of the guys on my cricket team yesterday turned up in a BMW, and he's only like 20. I have no idea how that works. But anyway, he clearly believes that life is found in fast cars, and so people pursue that. He's got there a bit quick, to be honest. If that doesn't get written off in the next few weeks, I'll be surprised. Some people think that life is found in great holidays, and so they save and save and save and get the money to pursue that a few times a year. So people think life is found in all kinds of different places. But the truth is, only Jesus can give life that is abundant. And he'll include some of that stuff in there for you. You know, you can have a holiday. When you come to Jesus, he's not saying, don't have a holiday. You can have a car, and it might even be fast if you're lucky. But he'll give you some of that stuff. But he is the one that gives you abundant life. Life that overflows. Life that is better than anything else can ever give you. To believe that changes everything. To believe that changes the way you make every decision in your life. To believe that Jesus is the one who gives abundant life. Now, as we finish, we've talked about the four things that Jesus gives those who come into his sheepfold, who come through the door. He says, I want to know you, I'll have a relationship with you, I'll save you, I'll keep you safe from everything that will come against you. I'll give you the food that you need to live. I'll give you life that is abundant, that's better than anything you could ever imagine. But let's put these two sides together now. What's going to happen as we seek to live as Jesus' sheep, following him, being obedient to him, eating food in his pastures, knowing him, in relationship with him? The enemies going to come, aren't they? The enemies are going to come and are going to try and steal these things away from you. So the enemy's going to come and say, God doesn't really want to know you. So you know when you've had a bad week and you've messed up a few times, the enemy will tell you, well, God doesn't want you anywhere near him. You know, that happens in our friendships as well, doesn't it? Happens like when we're relating to people around us. We think, oh, that person's mad at me. So we kind of avoid them and we see him, you know, the other side of the road, and we see him coming towards us and we cross over to the other side of the road. We're kind of like, they're annoyed with me right now. I let them down the other week and I don't want to have anything to do with them. That's what we do, isn't it? Everyone else do that? Because I do. And that's what the enemy will say. God doesn't want to know you right now. You messed up. So cross over the other side of the road and just let him walk over there and you can walk by yourself. Is that what Jesus wants? No, he's already told you. He wants to know you. He wants to pray, you to pray even when you've had a bad week. He wants fellowship with you even when you've stuffed up. The enemy will tell you, no, you have to be better. You have to earn your way back into his good books. No, Jesus says, I want to know you. You're my sheep. I call you by name. Follow me. The enemy will try and tell you that you're not safe, that things are going to come against you and you can't stop them. He'll try and put doubt and fear into your mind and tell you, you're not really safe. Jesus can't really protect you. He can't really stop that happening to you. And when we live in doubt and fear, then we're lost, don't we? We're never going to be the people God's called us to be. We'll be consumed by the things we're afraid of. The enemy will try and steal your food from you. He'll try and get you out of the Bible. The enemy loves to get people out of the Bible, loves to get them into whatever, anything else other than the Bible. The enemy will try and take that away from you. And above and beyond anything else, the enemy will tell you, life's found somewhere else. Life is found outside the sheepfold. Go and enjoy yourself doing this or that or the other. You need to pursue this to have real life. Well, Jesus says, no, you don't need to. Come to me, follow me, and you will have life in abundance. Cool. Hope that stuff all made sense. Like I said before, if you've got any questions, particularly about the first bit I talked about, coming in through the cross, coming in through the door, then please come and talk to someone. But shall we pray? And then we'll have some tea and coffee together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time we've been able to spend together this morning. And thank you for the great truths we've just been able to look at. Thank you that Jesus is the door into real life. And I just want to pray first and foremost that all of us here today would find, if we haven't found already, that door, that we'd come to understand what it truly means to enter in through the narrow gate, through Jesus himself into your sheepfold. Lord, deliver us from ever thinking that we can climb in or work our way in or be good enough to get in. Help us only come through him. And then, Lord, we just want to thank you for the privileges, the blessings of being in your sheepfold. Thank you that we get to know you. Thank you that you want to know us. Even though we're messed up people, you want to know us. You want to walk out life with us. We thank you for that. We thank you that you keep us safe. Thank you that we don't need to fear anymore. Thank you that you give us what we need to thrive and to live and to flourish as you speak to us through your word. And thank you above everything else that the life that you give is abundant, is better than anything else that this world could offer. Lord, help us believe that because it's the truth, because you've said it, and help us pursue you and run after you as hard as we can. Lord, again, thank you for our time together. Just bless these things to each one of us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.